Well, I tell you, we are living in different times. I there for a while, I thought we would go back to normal. Now I don't see normal. We are heading into times that our country has never known before, and you're going to see some very peculiar things happen with people. You know, people that you thought were grounded, people that you thought knew the word, but now this word is going to be applied to us as Americans. Never had anything like this at all. And, you know, people are scared. And the problem with this is that the words, some of the words that they're using, like Armageddon and the apocalypse and the day of vengeance and all of this, scares the living daylights out of Christians. You know, I mean, the non-Christians are already scared. They are really scared. They're acting up. They're, you know, nobody knows what to do about anything. And every time, you know, if you watch the news, I just don't. I watch the 700 Club. That's all I need to know about the news and the Christian news. And it's heartbreaking. I know my heart has been broken. And it was very, very difficult for me. I have gone through seasons of great difficulty with my heart being an American living in this country. It's been very hard on me. But, well, then let's begin with prayer. Father, I thank you for what you show us in this time, Father, of desperate need for this country. You show us who you are. And that's what I want to show the people this evening, is who you are and what these words mean. I thank you, Father, that you have put it into the Hebrew words. If we will look into that language, we will see who you really are, and that there should be no fear, no fear, not being afraid of anything that is coming. We have no idea what's coming. We just know it's not good. And this is why, Father, we need teachings like this. We need to be grounded. And I thank you, Father, for giving me this. And I thank you, Father, for the opportunity to share what you've given me. In Jesus' name, I do thank you. Because Christine, you know, called me and said, Mark is overcoming. And so she asked me if I would teach tonight, and I said, sure. And, you know, people have been asking me, well, you know, why aren't you teaching? Why don't you teach anymore? We never see you teaching, you know. What are you doing? You know. Well, I'm sitting at home on my tuffet doing nothing but eating bonbons, okay? Not really. I have been diligently in the Word of God, okay? I've been in it. I had to step back because the teaching was, it was becoming a hindrance to my study, if you can understand that, because a lot of people, when they teach so much, they're not able to study for themselves, and I needed that very badly, and so, because everything I would study, I would turn and teach. That way, you know, it just doesn't sink into you. It doesn't become part of you. You get it and you serve it, you know. And so the Lord has been showing me that that's what he wants me to do. And, you know, I've been very glad. I've been very glad because, you know, when Christine called me and, you know, I said, well, Lord, you know, what do you want me to talk about? I don't think I've taught for, what, a couple of years? Something like that. I don't know. And so these are my notes. These are mine. And, you know, this is how I minister to myself, because believe me, as this proceeds, as we proceed into this, whatever you want to call it, you know. We are going to have to know how to minister to ourselves, because at any minute you can lose it. If you watch too much of the news, because even Fox News, they're sensationalizing everything. And as far as the rest of the country is concerned, I mean, Florida's dead. You know, we're all dead down here, you know. And I mean, that it's all just, you know, hype. You know, I mean, my neighbor's saying, oh, my gosh, what's happening to Florida? I said, I don't know, what's happening to Florida? And she said, well, everybody's, you know, it's just all over this. And I said, wow. I said, do you have anybody in your family that's sick? And she goes, well, no. Well, I said, you know, you working? Yeah, is there anybody at work that's sick? Well, no. You know, but see, we just think everybody's sick and everybody's dying. We can't do this anymore. This can't be our norm. We have to have, you know, like Pastor Mark was saying Sunday, we have to have a different mindset. We cannot afford from this time forward to allow our minds to go in the direction that the world is going, not even for a second. There are a lot of demonic forces out there that are hammering, and who are they going to hammer on? The unsaved or the saved? They're going to hammer on us. And so you have to be aware of this. I am so aware of this now, and I'm not afraid. I'm just learning how to take my authority, use my authority, and be sure that my authority is in operation. I'm going to have my whole garage door, you know, redone tomorrow. Man, I went out there, and I said, I'm taking authority over this whole thing. They're coming over. The job is going to be perfectly done. There's not going to be any demonic interference, no hindrances whatsoever, and everything will be smooth, and that door will serve me until my last day on earth. You have to take authority over everything in your day, you know, not with any kind of fear or any kind of trepidation. Just do it, you know. We got enemies. They're all over the place now, you know. And, you know, the Lord told me, he said, well, you know, he said, it's going to get to the point where you're either going to be a leader or we're going to live in fear. We're going to have to be led. And in this church, we are taught very well how to change your mind, how to keep your mind stayed on the Lord. At all times, the mind comes back to the Lord. It can lose it for a minute. You come right back and you stabilize yourself. And that's what I've been doing through this whole thing. So the word that came up in me, you know, that people are they're just afraid of everything that's happening. And the word was vengeance. So I said, yeah, you know, there's so much hatred out there. This is spiritual. This, you know, these people have had help, a lot of help from demonic forces to hate as deeply as they're hating, and to just build up crazy wild things that are going on, and they're all out of hand, and now everybody's scared of what's going to happen, you know. And, you know, the other word that I hear so much is the apocalypse. You know, they're riding, you know, the horses, they're out there, they're right. Well, you know, they've been riding for a long time, you know. I mean, we've had the first horses, what? The Antichrist, okay? We've had the Antichrist spirit here forever, you know, since Bible days, that's for darn sure. The red horse is the wars. We've had a couple wars. Black horse, pestilence, all that kind of stuff. And the pale horse, death. Hell, that sounds really gruesome, doesn't it? But, you know, people don't understand who's sending this, who's doing this, why is it happening, and how can I protect myself from it? How do I protect myself? And that's what I feel, is people are trying to protect themselves, and there is no reason to. There is only the reason that you should have is to stay in Jesus, okay? Now, you know, my notes are a mess, so we'll just begin anywhere the Lord says so. For instance, the apocalypse here, I just want to show you something. It's, you know, it's not my whole lesson, but I want to show you this. In Revelation and verse 6, actually I want to start in, chapter 6, but I want to start in chapter, just the end of chapter 5 there, okay? Now, this is how everything gets so mixed up. So you're reading, and every creature, verse 13, chapter 5, which is in heaven and on earth and under earth and such as are in the sea and all that are in them, heard I saying. Now, what are they saying? Death, damnation, you know, vengeance and all of this. What are they saying? They're saying blessing and honor and glory and power be unto him that sits upon the throne and unto the Lamb forever. And then, now you've got this glorious picture up there of everybody that's just worshiping and exalting the Lamb. And the four beasts said, Amen. And the 24 elders fell down and what? Wrapped up in a ball because they were scared out of their minds is what's coming on the earth, right? No, it says they fell down and worshiped him that lives forever and ever. Now, right then, slides into chapter 6, and I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals, and I heard, as it were, the noise of thunder, one of the four beasts saying, Come and see. Now, what they're talking about here is the first four seals are, you know, actually the apocalypse, okay? It's part of the seals, you know? So we don't really have anything to be worried about because Satan is not sending the four horsemen of the apocalypse, okay? It's part of God's dealing with the earth. Well, don't we pray? Don't we pray and we continue to pray? You know, that, oh, God, come. Oh, God, rend the heavens and come down. Well, listen, he is. He is. It's coming a whole lot faster than we thought, okay? But he's coming. And we have to understand that the shaking that's going on and the horror that we're seeing, even in this country and all around the world, is part of his coming. It's part of the shaking. What does Hebrews say? Anything that can be shaken will be shaken, okay? And that's, you know, so when we see this and we see on the news or wherever, you know, now that this is happening and now we have no law and all this kind of, hey, listen, this has all been done before, you know? Look over at Exodus 32. I want to show you something. You know, we think that we're in times that, you know, nobody's ever seen before. Oh, my goodness. You want to talk about debauchery? Go back to the time when, you know, Moses, you know, was in the mountain and, you know, they all got nuts and they just lost at everything. They were making different gods and they were doing debaucherous stuff. They were doing horrible stuff. See, when we used to read this, it didn't really settle into us because in this country, we've never seen anything. This is not allowed in our country. We don't see this kind of stuff. But it's been here, and it's just broadcast now. And in verse 25, it says, And when Moses saw that the people were naked, now what's he mean naked? What happened here? It means they loosened up, they exposed themselves, they dismissed all restraint, they began a new beginning. This all comes right out of the Strong's, okay? They started a new beginning, not good. Now, isn't that what people are trying to do, is just start this whole thing over again the way they want it? You know, they laid down their shield and their armor, and they were out of control. Totally out of control. And that's what we're seeing is people that are out of control, okay? So then what did Moses do? Then Moses stood in the gate of the camp and said, who is on the Lord's side? Now, he had to say that pretty loud. There were millions listening to him, okay? So, I mean, he shouted this. Let him come to me. Now, there's a separation going on, okay? And all the sons of Levi gathered themselves together unto him. The ones that can hear Moses, the ones these days who can hear the Lord, who can hear what's going on, who are looking for answers. I've been, you know, answering a few things with my neighbors. I'm very excited about it, you know, because they're getting curious as to what I think about this. But there are ones that will hear and they will come to you, you know, and the rest will not. All right. It's just going to be that way. That's what we're seeing. So when you see all of this stuff happening, what we need to understand is that every person has to decide. No one's going to be hiding anymore, and I got scriptures to prove that to you. Let's go over to Matthew 13 and verse 47. Man, I really hope that the Bible's coming alive to you. I really, because it's alive to me. Oh my goodness, I can't get out of the book of Isaiah. I just can't get, if you're having trouble, you got some consternation as to what's going on, you don't know what to do about it, stay in the book of Isaiah. Oh my goodness, it's wonderful. All right, so we go to Matthew 13:47. And it's Jesus saying, and again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a net that was cast into the sea. The sea, we all know, is the world, and gathered of every kind. All right? So the gospel is going to gather of every kind, which, when it was full, they drew it to shore and sat down and gathered the good into vessels, but cast the bad away. There's going to be a separation. There's not going to be any confusion or dark areas or gray areas. It's going to be they take the good, the bad is cast away. So shall it be at the end of the world. Now, I don't know what the King James says. What is that, King James? Yeah. So shall it be at the end of... Yeah, that word should be age. So shall it be at the end of the age. The angel shall come forth and sever the wicked from among the just. And they are cast into the furnace, okay? So here again, what we're seeing is the beginning of sorrows. We are not in the four horsemen, you know, of the apocalypse right now. Theoretically, yes, we're at the beginning of it, but people are thinking that, you know, I mean, we're just going down the tubes, you know? That is not the truth. Right now, we're still in the separation period. We are separating. Okay, so what we have to decide here is then, which side are we on? Now, if you're on the side of the Lord, then where is the fear coming from? You know, where is the confusion coming from if you're on the side of the Lord? Because, see, I looked up these scriptures for myself, and I get myself stabilized. Nope, God's got this all under control, and this is what's going to happen, and this is the way it's going to be. And that's what I do, because I'm by myself a lot of times, and I don't have someone to talk to all the time. I've got to stabilize myself, because when people call me, I need to be stabilized, you know? Because I'm not going to be one that's dragged off in fear. I'm hoping to be a leader. I'm hoping that when the whole thing gets wild, it's supposed to get wild. I mean, we've got prophets out there prophesying everything now that's just going to come into calamity and all this kind of stuff, and nobody knows who to believe or what to do about it. Well, we have to see, what do we do about this, okay? Go over to Psalm 11. The Lord tells us through the whole Bible what he's doing, if we can see it. But see, like I said, we've never had to take these scriptures seriously. In other countries, they live by these scriptures. They hang on to Jesus far tighter than we do because we haven't really had to. But now it's coming to the point where we really have to know him, okay? Psalm 11 says, "In the Lord I put my trust. How say you to my soul, flee as a bird to your mountain?" In other words, you know, why I have my trust in God. Why are you telling me to run? That's exactly what it's saying. "For lo, the wicked bend their bow. They make ready their arrow upon the string that they may privately shoot at the upright in heart." Now this scripture is the one that's taken out of context a lot because you hear this scripture a lot, but you have to put it together with the scriptures around it. It says, "If the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do?" Okay, now that's a question, right? But a lot of people, when they preach on that scripture, just leave it there and people start freaking out. What are we going to do? What are we going to do when the foundations are? You know what that word foundation means? It means a basis, political or moral support. That's what that word foundation means. It is political and it is moral. And both of those foundations in this country are being shattered. Around the world, they're being shattered. And so the foundation is being destroyed. "The Lord is in his holy temple. The Lord's throne is in heaven. His eyes behold his eyes behold, his eyelids try the children of men." So he's watching and he's looking. And who's he looking at? He's looking at us. The Lord tries the righteous. Okay? Now, if you look up that word try, does that mean that he's going to burn your feet or, you know, kill your kid or something like that? No. It means he's testing your mettle. He will take care of us to the nth degree. He knows how much we can handle, what we can't handle, what we can't bear, and he tests that. He looks at us and he investigates and he examines where we are. He knows where every single one of us is. If we're in the Lord, he knows where we are, okay? I mean, right there, I mean, that should give you such comfort, you know? "Upon the wicked he shall rain snares, fire and brimstone, and a horrible tempest." On the wicked, "This shall be the portion of their cup. For the righteous Lord loves righteousness. His countenance does behold the upright." His eye is always on you. It's always on us. He hasn't, you know, dropped you off somewhere and forgot where he put you. You know, he knows exactly where you are. Now, let's go to Deuteronomy and we'll get a little deeper into this. Deuteronomy 32 and verse 35. "To me belongs vengeance and recompense." Now, and then he stops and then he says, "Their foot shall slide in due time." I mean, you know, I mean, I just love these verses. He says, "For the day of their calamity," whose calamity? Theirs, the ones who have resisted God, okay? "Their calamity is at hand, and the things that shall come upon them make haste." In other words, it's going to be a short work. "For the Lord shall," what? "Judge his people." He's discerning, he's investigating, he's weighing, and he's watching to see if we're ready. Can we do this? Are we ready to go forward? "And he repents himself for his servants." Now, what that means, let's see. Yeah, they say repent too. Repent here means he will have compassion for his servants. Now, this is when he's going to have compassion on us, okay? "He will have compassion for his servants when he sees that their power is gone. And there is none shut up or left. Now, if you dig into all of this, what he's really saying here is, whatever you're trying to do in your own power is going to be exposed to you. He's not going to shout it on the rooftops. He's going to say, look, this is not going to work. You're either going to be in charge or I'm going to be in charge. And this is where we are in this whole thing. See, if you dig into these words, you understand God's heart and exactly what's going on. Because he said, I will have compassion on you when I see that your power, my cross references says, when he sees that your hand is gone, your hand in it. You got the hand in what you're how you're going to control yourself and what you're going to do and what you're going to say, where you're going to go and all this stuff. You still got your own agenda, all right? And there is none shut up. Now, that means hidden away. So whatever you think you're hiding from the Lord, you know, as far as, I'll just do this I'll just do it this way. And you think that you're hiding something from the Lord. No, you still have a ways to go because that's your own power. He said it's going to get to the point where you will not be able to hide these things from the Lord. Why would you want to? You don't have to hide any mess in you from him. He's known it's been there since, you had it. Okay? He knows. He knows what's in us, all right? You know, that's why I love this place so much because, you know, someone can have such a terrible, awful problem and come into this church. This church has been through so much flesh in ourselves and people that come here. You're not going to raise our eyebrows in anything that you do. We're here for you. If you got something that you're working on in your life, you got a bad temper or you're thinking ugly thoughts or you're into something you shouldn't be into, all that stuff, there's no reason to hide it when God is trying to expose it in you, to get it out of you, because he said, I will have compassion on you when I see that that power is no longer under your control, but my control. I will control it. And if I control it, it's going to be gone out of you. Or it will be corrected, or it will be adjusted in you if you will allow me to do this. And he says, there will be no one left behind. Every person that loves the Lord and is called according to his purpose, you're going to be dealt with, every single one of you. Why? Because he loves you. He loves you. He is so deeply in love with us that he has to boil up this stuff in us and cause us to cast it out. Because what happens after that? You're an overcomer. And, this thing cannot collapse around us until God has his overcomers. We're going to have to be the kind of people who can stand during the shaking. That's what I want more than anything else in the world, is to be able to stand, to be a beacon to anybody, to grab a hold of anybody, hide anybody, comfort anybody, anything that I can do. But in order for me to do that, I have got to be clean. I have got to be clean. So, I'm not afraid to go to the Lord and say, Lord, if there's anything, let's deal with something, Because when things are going really good and you don't really have anything that you're dealing with and, everything's just working just fine, I don't like those times because I know there's plenty in here that can be dealt with. Let's just keep doing it, Lord, until it's done. Well, he said he wouldn't do that because we wouldn't be able to handle it. But he's going as fast as he can. But we see what's happening and we see the time approaching, This is all coming real to us. Okay, So, all right, let's go over to, I want to deal with this word vengeance, because I think you're going to be really blessed when you find out what this really means. I mean, vengeance is a nasty word, isn't it? How can you get anything good out of the word vengeance? But I got something really good. So let's go over to Isaiah 61. Oh, gosh, turned right to it because I've been in it for a while. All right, Isaiah 61 and verses 1 and 2 I want to get to. We've heard this. We've heard this before, but now it's happening to us, okay? The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and the opening of prison to them that are bound. Now, we've been doing that. We've been moving along in that pretty good. You know, we are ministers. You can't come to this church very long and not turn into a minister, you know, because you realize how much people don't know out there, and the little bit that you know, you're ministering it. Well, that's what you're doing. You're binding up the brokenhearted. You're proclaiming liberty. You're the one that is doing this. And then it says to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. Now, along with the acceptable, that acceptable year means the Jubilee, okay? All right? And the day of vengeance of our God, semicolon. All right? Now, let's read that again. To proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, semicolon, to comfort. To comfort. He is going to do things, the word is called vengeance, that are going to comfort us. It's not going to scare us. It's not going to, he's not going to attack us with any kind of vengeance. I mean, to me, this is my father. This is my father, you know. I remember when my brother and I were little, you know, and, you know, my brother would do something wrong and he was going to get it. And, you know, but my father would be holding me, and he'd set me down, and he'd go get my brother, and my brother got it. I didn't get it, you know, because he was the one who was being disobedient. Of course, actually, in reality, it was usually I was the one who was getting it, and he was the good one. But, you know, that's the way it is. But anyways, he knows how to separate people, and he knows which ones to go get. He knows, all right? And it's not you. It's not you. Now, it doesn't even matter if you do something wrong. He doesn't deal with you like this. Not with vengeance, you know. I mean, no, 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 no. But there is something good about vengeance. It's coming. Because he says, when the day of vengeance of our God to comfort all that mourn. Okay? So in this horrible word, there's going to be some kind of comfort coming to us. Because we're going to need it. Now, there are, when I look this word up, if you don't look it up, you're never going to know it's there. You'll never know that this word means what it really means if you don't look it up. It had comes in three parts. Then the word vengeance comes, there's three parts to this word. The number one part of it is it means to vindicate. Vindicate is a good word, isn't it? Don't you like to be vindicated? Like somebody said, well, you lied and you said, no, I didn't, and yes, you did, and then all of a sudden they find out that you didn't lie. You've been vindicated. Okay? That's what vindication means. It means that you are exonerated, and it means you are confirmed. Okay? It means to provide defense for, okay? All of this happens after we've been tested, okay? The day of vengeance of the Lord is going to come. But you can see just from the first explanation of this word, it's got nothing to do with you. It's going to exonerate you. It is going to separate you, all right? The second explanation is After the Lord vindicates and exonerates and provides a defense for us, the second word is retaliation. That's not a good word. No one likes retaliation. As a matter of fact, that's how we used to be, didn't we? Weren't we that way? If someone did something to us, what did we do? We thought up a really good way to retaliate. And that, it's malice is what it is. And all of that has got to be washed out of us. And isn't it? Come on, you ask yourself, if you've been a Christian for any length of time, do you really think about retaliation anymore? You really don't. Because you know it'll turn back on you. You know, it'll be bad on you if you retaliate against anyone. See, these people who have lost their minds and, you know, they hate law and order. They hate anybody that's, you know, in any kind of position of authority. Everybody's hating and all of that kind of stuff. You know, we are supposed to be the kind of people that can pray for them. I've had to pray for some people that, you know, in our government that, you know, you'd like to retaliate, you know, but you know that's not the way of the Lord. It doesn't work, number one. It doesn't work with us. It'll work with God, but not with us. We have got to, you know, the person that you think that you can't say one good word about, you know, say in government or whatever's going on with this stuff, you need to pray for them. That's what we're supposed to be doing. We need to bind the spirit of hatred. You know, I was just watching something on Christian TV today where they were saying, and I had to agree, that the strongest spirit out there now is a spirit of hatred. It was fear, and there is a lot of fear out there, but there's a whole lot of hatred that's cropping up now, and it's coming from demonic forces. And so we have to pray for the human beings that are vulnerable to it, to get them out if they'll come. But if we don't pray for them, how are they ever going to get out of it? See, God knows who's not coming. He knows who's coming and who's not coming. But the way he has this thing set up is that we must work with him. And our part is to pray for them so that he can work with them. Okay? I mean, he wants to work with us, with these people, with these situations. You know, he wants us to honestly desire that their eyes be opened, that their hearts are opened, that they can see the deception that they're in, the worst ones of them, that they could see the deception. That is our part, okay? We are protected from all of this, but what are we supposed to be doing? We are supposed to be praying for them. Because there are those that will come out of this. We know that. You know, I was listening to some other program on Christian TV where they were saying, I think it wasn't Portland, it was Seattle, where all this mess is going on. But they are saying that church is active there. You don't hear that on any of the news. I don't even hear that on the 700 Club. Nobody's saying what the church is doing in Seattle. So everybody thinks they're just sitting there like, oh my goodness, this is just so terrible. I just don't know. Well, we're just going to leave it. We have no idea what our brothers and sisters are doing in Seattle about all of those things, you know, the barricades and the fortresses that they've thrown up and all of that. Our brothers and sisters are out there praying. They are. They're working at their best. So we have to remember that. But in this word vengeance, the second part of it is retaliation. Another word for it is retribution. God keeps books. And if we do our part and keep the hatred out of our hearts and the animosity out of our hearts, and we learn to pray for these people sincerely, even a couple Jezebels in Washington, D.C., you know, I am learning to pray for them. I'm beseeching the Lord that their eyes be open, that they can see the deception that is going on. And you know, if you really apply yourself, you can do it. And when you do that, that compassion comes out of you. Like, oh my gosh, if they don't stop this, they will go straight to hell. There will be no help for them. I don't want to see anybody go to hell. There is no one that can do anything that bad that I want them to spend eternity in hell. That's not in our hearts anymore. We can't find an attitude like that. It's not a part of us, you know. They want to see us dead, but we don't want to see them dead. You know, we just don't. This word retaliation also means payback. And don't you remember in Isaiah where he says, I will repay you to your face. That's exactly what God says in the scripture. I will repay. He has to do it. He's not hating them, but you can only go so far with what's going on. And when the hammer comes down, it's done. When God really begins to move, it's done. He keeps his books. But we have to make sure that we've done our part. Because the third part of that word is the word punishment. He's going to have to punish those that will not repent. Punishment is coming. Punishment here means carrying justice out. You know, people think that, you know, say that they don't believe in capital punishment. Well, God does. You know? I mean, really, justice will be carried out. You know, he will do his very best, but it will be carried out. There's one word that comes out of vengeance that I absolutely love, and it's the word avenge. That's a good word. So out of the word vengeance, the understanding that we have to have of God when he says, vengeance is mine, what we have to understand is he will avenge. You remember that old thing they had on television called the Avengers? Someone has been done wrong, or even the A-Team. Remember the A-Team on TV? You know, gosh, I hate these masks. I can't see anybody smiling or whatever. But, you know, I mean, the A-Team. Somebody has been done a wrong, and in comes the A-Team. They were the Avengers, you know. And so avenge is to take vengeance for or on behalf of. That all comes out of the word vengeance. So, you know, when you hear the day of vengeance is here and all of this stuff is happening and all this kind of stuff, take heart. It's a word that is all-encompassing and your Father's heart is in it. But there will be no excuses. There will be no excuses. There will be no yeah buts. There'll be nothing. Because his books will be open. And we will be judged out of the books. Now, let's go back over to Isaiah 54. I love this. Isaiah 54 and verse 14. In righteousness shall you be established. You're going to be established in righteousness. How is it that you're established in righteousness? By learning the difference between right and wrong as far as God sees it. You know, we think that things are right, and God says that is wrong, and then he corrects you, and you submit to it, you release it, you release that mindset, you take up his mindset. I thought it was right, he says it's wrong. It's wrong. Cross the board. It's wrong. That's how you are established in righteousness. All right? So that's what's going on with us. We are being established in righteousness. You shall be far from oppression. Now, I have written in my margin here, can't say it comes from the Strong's, but I have even from thought. What oppresses us more than anything? Stinking thinking, thoughts, okay? But and he said, you will be far from that. You know, that encourages me so much because, you know, like Pastor Mark has been teaching, we can change our thoughts and we can control our thoughts and we can think what's right and stop thinking what is wrong. We can do that. I do that, and I know that I have had success in it, where, you know, your mind starts off on a trail, and I will open my mouth and say, no. And it goes away so fast that I don't even remember sometimes why I just said no. It goes away that fast, and it doesn't come back. Seriously. Now, I mean, you know, I'm not there yet, you know, but I'm on my way, and so are you. We are being established in righteousness. That's why you see all this, you know, the whole world is shaking. The whole world. You know, we think America's the only one. You know, I heard, I think it was on the 700 Club, where in Iran, they are rioting in the streets. They're doing everything that we're doing here. And I'm thinking to myself, oh, that's just great. They're rioting for right reasons because they're oppressed and they're fed up with their government. And we're rioting because we don't like the government that we have that's done everything it could possibly do to help us. You know? I mean, we have a good government and we hate it. They have a bad government. So, you know, I said, how do you figure that's happening? And then they said that they're averaging 3,000 Muslims a month are coming to the Lord in Iran. In Iran. So they're having a revival because they have been oppressed, you know, and they're fed up with it. And we're over here going into being oppressed. Okay. But we shall be far from oppression. And okay, yeah. For thou shalt not fear. All right? So we have to maintain our position continually throughout, you know, from here on out. I don't think we're going to get a reprieve. I mean, it would be really nice if we did, but I just think it's, you know, doesn't look like we are. Let's say we don't. Would be nice if we did, but let's say we don't. What are we going to do? We're going to work on fear. Fear is the opposite of faith. Fear is from the enemy. Faith, if we believe God and we believe that he loves us and he has a plan for us and he's trying to work it out, if his kids will just settle down and submit to him and obey him, he'll work out the plan real nice. He's got problems with his own kids that are freaking out and in fear. You know, I mean, how many times have you heard since this thing started, what the heck is going on? What's going on? What do you mean, what's going on? Have you said that? What is going on? It's the end of time. It's the shaking. Jesus is coming. That's what's going on. Jesus is coming. The more fear the world, the more shaking in the world, Jesus is coming. He's coming. The Lord is coming. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And you fight that fear. You know, and then they were saying that this guy had, one of the prophets was prophesying, he had a dream and, you know, all the money was blowing out of the banks and we lost all our money. Okay, let's start there. Let's start there. What happens if that comes to pass? What are you going to do? What happens if my Social Security check doesn't come? What happens if the savings that I have blown out and I'm never going to see it again? Could that happen? Oh, yeah. Yeah, sure it could. Anything's open. Now, we have no protections, you know? What are you going to do? Well, I had to sit myself down and think. All right, am I going to fear? So I just I just sat there and waited for fear to come. Because I'm dealing with myself, you know. What would I do if there was no social security check, no savings, it was all gone. Nothing was coming in. What would I do? What would I do? Am I going to fear? Am I going to freak out? Am I going to, you know, what am I going to do? But there is, you see, if you're established in the Word of God, there is a peace that comes over you. You and I went through that storm, Irma, when it was coming straight at us, you know. And I remember, you know, Tiffany was staying with me. And I'm telling you what, there was a peace that came. You know, it's the last thing we heard on the TV was that, you know, it was coming straight for Tampa Bay. 5 category. And what happened? What happened to you? What happened to you? Can you remember? Was there not something that was there for you? It was there for me. It had to be there for you. There was a peace. My house was up for grabs, and I love my house. And I had the opportunity to go to my father and say, you gave me this house. You paid for this house. Every dime, everything in it, you paid for. Never missed a payment. It's all yours, and I have given it to you. And if it's all gone, it's all gone. But it was your decision, your house. And you think, oh, yeah, but you knew it really was. No, I didn't. I thought we were going to get hit for the first time, but I thought we were going to get it. I went to bed. And I went to sleep. How was I able to do that? On my own? No. No. We have the peace of God, which is a person who comes, rises up in us in these times when you feel like you're going to fall apart or something horrible is going to happen. There is a peace, and you begin to move, and you know what you're supposed to do, and you know where you're supposed to go. You just begin to move. That's the power of the Holy Spirit. We've got to work on that power. We've got to work at it every single day because these things are going to happen to us. But we need to know that he said, I'm going to be far from oppression because I'm not going to fear and from terror, for it shall not come near you. Behold, they shall surely gather together. Now, he's saying, yeah, it's out there. It's out there. It shall surely gather together, but not by me. Now, I'll tell you what. You could put that under your pillow at night. It's going to gather. It's out there, and it's going to be pretty darn devastating. But it's not going to hurt us because he's there for us. It shall surely gather together, but not by me. Whosoever shall gather together against you shall fall for your sake. He said, I'll protect you from anything that tries to come at you for your sake. Why for your sake? Because I love you. Because I love you, I will be there for you. And that's, you know, I mean, we forget. Then he starts bragging. He says, behold, I have created the smith that blows the coals and the fire and that brings forth an instrument for his work, and I have created the waster to destroy. The waster to destroy has no mind of his own. God only lets this evil go to a certain extent, and down comes the hammer. You can take that to, I was going to say you can take it to the bank. Well, actually, now that the bank isn't there, you know, but you can count on that, all right? And then we all know the scripture, no weapon that is formed against you shall prosper. Every tongue that rises against you in judgment, who's going to judge you? You will condemn. How are you going to condemn them? Just by being you. If they come against you and try to judge you, they're condemned for trying to do it. You don't have to do anything. It's because of your sake they will be condemned. We don't have to say, you're condemned, you picked on me. No, you don't have to do anything. It'll happen to them. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord. And their righteousness is of me, saith the Lord. What are you going to do about that, devil? You see, we've got to keep ourselves in these scriptures, because then you can walk with your head high, you can walk with strength, you can walk with assurance, because people are being shaken. They are afraid of all their little toys, you know, and everything that's going to happen, and oh, everything's going to come crashing down. Well, it may or may not. We don't know. We don't know anything. Go over to Isaiah 59. And so I say, I love Isaiah. I've got it all highlighted, and I just go through it, and I read it, and it just builds me up. So Isaiah 59 in verse 12. This is so good. Now, for our transgressions are multiplied before you, and our sins testify against us. For our transgressions are with us, and as for our iniquities, we know them. In transgressing and lying against the Lord and departing away from our God, speaking, and this is what gets you in trouble. I mean, he lists this stuff. In transgressing and in lying and departing away from our God, we're speaking oppression. How do you do that? You open up your mouth and start flapping about, oh my God, I am just not going to make it. This is too much for me. I just, blah, 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 blah. All of these words come falling out of your mouth. Speaking oppression and revolt, conceiving and uttering from the heart words of falsehood. This is how we just stop doing this, you know. And judgment is turned away backward. Now, you know what that, you can read that in a couple different ways, but when I first read it, I thought, oh my gosh, that's exactly what's happening. Judgment, justice, is backwards. They let out all the criminals, and they're putting the innocent people who just want to go to work in jail. I mean, that is actually what's happened. That guy that was trying to defend his house, he was on TV the other night. And, I mean, he's just a super upstanding citizen, you know. And he's got charges against him for trying to defend his own property. Judgment, and that's what it's saying, and judgment is turned away backward. And justice stands afar off. Well, where are the police right now? They're standing afar off. Okay? For truth has fallen in the streets, and equity cannot enter. There are now places in our country where equity, which means rightness, fairness, justice cannot enter. Yea, truth fails, and he that departs from evil makes himself a prey. And the Lord saw it, and it displeased him that there was no judgment. See, he's only going to put up with this. It's going to get real. It's going to get bad, but there's an end to it. And he saw that there was no intercessor, and so his righteousness, it sustained him, for he came, he put on righteousness as a breastplate and a helmet of salvation upon his head, and he put on the garments of vengeance for clothing and was clad with zeal as a cloak. He put on the garments of vengeance. He is the judge. He will vindicate, he will retaliate, and he will punish. He's going to do the entire thing. We don't have to do anything but just stay with him. All right? Now I'm going to close with this scripture, Luke 21. Luke 21. I don't see any signs back there, so I'll keep going. Oh, time to pray, he says. All right, Luke 21:18. Luke 21 is kind of a correlation to Matthew 24. It tells you all the stuff that's going to happen, all the horrible stuff that's coming. Jesus said, I'm telling you before it happens so that when it happens, you'll know that I told you. Now, you know, even that you have to meditate on. Wait a minute. Jesus told us this would happen. He told us so that when it does happen, we're not going to faint. All right? But in 18, it says, but there shall not a hair of your head perish. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. In your patience, possess ye your souls. In your patience. What is our patience? What's he talking about? Counting from 1 to 10, holding our breath, you know, restraining ourselves? No, it's nothing like that. Patience means being steadfast and constant. You don't budge. You don't get freaked out. You stay steadfast and you stay constant. That's how you possess your souls. That's how we're going to move through this. And like I said, you know, when these things, you know, because we don't know what's going to happen tonight. You know, every night there's something new that's happening. But, you know, the thing to do about it is just when you hear that, you know, if you're one that watches the news, I'll do about 5 minutes of it every other 2 days or so. But, you know, I do watch the Christian news and all of that. But, you know, all right, so I pray in tongues. I pray for those people. That's what we're supposed to be doing. Pray in tongues. I mean, if you feel that you're getting a little shaky about things, you know, because they said that it's going to more cities and all this kind of, you know, who knows? They're prophesying all kinds of crazy stuff now. You know, so you have no idea who's, you know. It doesn't matter what happens. Your stand doesn't change. It's all going to get crazy out there. We don't know how bad it's going to be. But you stay steadfast. Your stand does not change because Jesus doesn't change. He's not going to, you know, freak you out one day and comfort you the next day. He's always comforting you. He's always there for you. Stay in the book of Isaiah. I'm telling you, you know, when I first came to this church, I mean, you guys know, I mean, Pastor Bill was, we used to call it the book of Bill, because he preached out of that book continually. And, you know, we all, you know, Isaiah is a very strong book, but it's a book to me of separation. It's right and it's wrong. That's why I like that so much. This is right, this is wrong. You know, and we learned, we cut our teeth on the book of Isaiah. And now it's coming to pass. The comfort is coming to pass, and the bad news is coming to pass. But we don't change. Nothing changes about us. We stay together. We stay together. We look after one another. And you stay in Jesus and love him and know that, you know, he's the one. He's the one. All those seals in the book of Revelation, the Lamb is opening those seals. And they're worshiping him as the seals pour on the earth and the bowls and all that horror that's coming. It's the Lamb. It doesn't even say Jesus or the Lord or God. It says the Lamb is doing it. That should give us some comfort when we see what's going on. No, this is the Lamb's work. This is his work. This is what my Father needs to do. So I'm going to be on his side. Father, thank you for just a poking into this. We thank you so much, Father. This is what has kept me, and it keeps me in prayer. And that's what we need to do, Father. We need to remember to place our Bibles in front of us every day, read the scriptures, and pray, and worship, and praise, because you are bringing to pass your plan, and we are part of it. That's all we want, Father, is to be in our proper position to be part of what you're doing and to help others find their position and be able to function in their part, Father. We want so much to be obedient children. We want to be your army, Father. We are your army. We are the army of the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Thank you for your encouragement. Thank you for your grace and your mercy. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God.